just fucking spite. Not on the carpet, it came from my heart. Once I saw it, I can't stop it, and now we all break. Y'all, welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown. We are back in the building. How we feeling today, y'all? I am your boy, Jersey, and we got a super dope show for y'all, super dope lineup. Let's get in the building. Let's get this game started. We got a super dope episode. Today's all about stepping into my reality. I actually want to start off with a moment of silence, actually. I've actually lost one of my students this past week. And I actually want to just take a bow real quick and just take a 30 seconds just to remember someone that I taught and kind of helped cultivate all the way through high school. So just want to kind of just, you know, give a moment of silence real quick. And if you guys can put some doves in the comments for a fallen angel, that would be super dope. All right, let's do that. All right, y'all. So, again, that was a moment of silence just for someone that lost their life at a super young age. She was 20 years old, y'all. But we're gonna definitely keep this together and keep the spirits moving. And we here for Black Culture, The Breakdown, and we all about just pushing the culture forward. All right, so we stepping into my reality. What up, Adam? What's up, everybody? I see y'all putting does. Yeah, RIP to Kimani. All right, let's actually get the show moving and let's get XAB on the live. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, y'all. We got a super dope show. They started. We getting the night started. What's up, bro?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, King. Thank you.
Your birthday's on Monday, but
yeah, my birthday's tomorrow. So in a couple hours, I will be turning a new age, getting a little older, you know what I mean?
That's right. What's up, Cheeky Boom? Well, everybody, put some happy birthday shout-outs to your boy XAB coming in, giving us the culture news as per you. Y'all know the vibes. X, there's a lot that's going on, bro. There's a lot to talk about. First thing is, let's talk about, real quick, birthday event. We just came back from a super dope event. We actually just celebrated you. More life to you, man, and that was a super dope event, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a bunch of dope friends and they love me to death, and they were able to put together a little event. You know, it is COVID, so it is kind of hard to do things and to celebrate things like a birthday in a responsible way, because we want everybody to be responsible and do what they need to do. But with that being said, my friends found a way. They got a really dope venue, and we celebrated. I thought it was amazing. I am more than grateful, more than happy, and I love everybody who came out and decided to, you know, be part of the festivities.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, bro, jumping into the first topic, man, and happy birthday to you again, and everybody, all the content that's going to be out your way from all the festivities that went out today.
Oh, yeah, we shot some stuff, man.
Definitely shot some stuff. And it's our sis, Squats and Splits, Naima's birthday as well, and she's going to be jumping on here to talk about everything that she's got going on, too.
But yeah, my Libra sister.
It is definitely a Libra system right now. It's definitely the Libra sister. Bro, let's jump to topics. Kamala Harris and Pence debate. Go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all know who the highlight of that debate was. We all know who won that debate. It wasn't even a competition. That fly that landed in Pence's hair definitely took the debate, was the highlight of everything. But in all seriousness, I do think that Kamala did everything that she needed to do. to basically appeal to people that she necessarily maybe needed to win over. She didn't do too much. For those who've been following this election cycle and this election period, that it was really, really, she was a lot more aggressive during the Democratic debates, but now she toned it down for this one, and I think that was a smart move for her to not attack Pence crazy, because I think that would have like did all that the other side needed to just distract, because Pence didn't answer not one question. Absolutely. And their whole goal was just to distract. So I think Kamala did a great job in terms of, she didn't overly win the debate in terms of like, she didn't kill Pence, but she won in the sense of she did what was necessary to kind of have those people who might have been in the middle of the road look at her a little bit stronger.
Well, I definitely agree. I do feel like Pence didn't answer no questions, all right? That was a
no.
All right? That was a
no.
So, you know, with that being said, we're going to move on and just know that we're going to crown Kamala. Kamala had, you know, that debate, all right?
Yeah, she definitely, she did what she needed to do. So in my opinion, she won.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into the next topic. Tory Lanez charged with felony assault against Meg Thee Stallion and is facing up to 22 years in prison, bro.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, for the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months at this point, people have been going back and forth about, oh, did Tory do it? Did he not do it? He dropped the album in between. It was not a, in my opinion, it was not a smart or savvy move for him to have dropped that album, but he did it. And so now it comes out that he is being charged. A lot of people were saying, well, he never got charged, so maybe he didn't do it. And now him being charged, it's leaning more towards, first of all, it took a long time to even charge him. 9 times out of 10, that means that they were just building evidence so that the charge sticks. Mm-hmm. So, as most of us know, with the legal system and the justice system, they have to have evidence that's pretty specific to you doing whatever it is that you're being accused of. And absolutely, the fact that they took so long means that I think they got whatever evidence they were looking for to say that this charge is going to stick to Tory. So, I don't know what that is. Tory has come out with a statement saying the truth will come out, and that he is still innocent. He's still saying he's innocent. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to definitely see how that goes down. But Tory Lanez dropping the album and not really speaking on this is a lot. And I do feel like Meg Thee Stallion coming out all the time and doing all these random, like, you know, like, announcements too is almost like confusing, if that makes sense.
And that was my whole thing about that whole situation. It just seemed like there was a lot of back and forth with a bunch of like leaking of information here, leak of information there, and it just seemed like a soap opera. I've said that before, where it's like, yo, this just seems like I don't know who to believe. I don't know. Not that I don't know who to believe, because I always felt like Tory did something, but it just started to feel like it was becoming a soap opera and more of like this random thing than it being someone was assaulted and this being a serious situation. And, you know, whenever that happens, the same thing happened with the election. You know, now we're in a space where people don't know what to believe. And I think the same thing kind of happened with Tory and Meg.
Yeah, most definitely. That's a
yes.
Tory Lanez, we're going to call him Tory D. Lanez because he just needs help right now. He needs to, we condemn him to have a seat, all right?
Yes.
So with that, we're going to just move on to the next topic. Officer arrested that killed George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, has been released on bond and allowed to go out of the state, bro. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I got to look more into the details of that, but it's really unfortunate that it just seems like they're like spitting in black people's face when it comes to Breonna Taylor at this. Ooh. I mean, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and everybody at this point in time. It's like George Floyd, they went through the whole situation. He got indicted, or not indicted, but he got charged. And now all of a sudden, he's able to be out on bond and be able to go out of the state, which is not normal circumstances. And then you got the Breonna Taylor situation that happened a couple of weeks ago, which seemed really, really out of place and out of normal normalcy with, in terms of how they just charging for shooting into walls and air and stuff like that. Gotcha. So it's just a lot. It's a lot to take in as a black person.
Yeah.
Keep seeing these major cases that are in the news end the way or be guided and steered in the ways that they are, where it just seems like the value on black lives is not very high.
Bro, that is absolutely right. Let's clap for that. Because I completely agree. Everything that you said was complete facts.
Yes.
And, you know, at the end of the day, bro, we got to make sure that we take our power back and we start to really treat our black queens with importance. The way that they violated Breonna Taylor is not okay. And it's just not. And I feel like we definitely got to keep the fight going.
And what they doing with this George Floyd thing, it's like they want these. It's almost like the powers that be. Mm-hmm. Want there to be a riot of some sort during this election period. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of people upset if Trump loses. You got a lot of people still protesting and if will be upset when he wins. You got all these racial tensions. So it just seems like there's a buildup that can turn into, so that can spill over if we aren't as a society a little bit more careful about and staying in tune with what's happening. So
absolutely,
we just gotta keep our eye on the ball.
Absolutely, we gotta keep our eye on the.
Yes.
All right. XAV, thank you so much, bro, for coming on and giving us the news like you always do, bro. This is Coaching News, man. Let's kind of get the show moving on to Naima. But bro, tell everybody where they can find you, man.
Yes, yes. So if there's anybody new on live that is not familiar with XAB, you can go to my name at the top and click on me. I have a podcast called Dad Has Some Bow Ties, and we break down news in politics and entertainment on a weekly basis. We got a new episode coming out Tuesday. So follow me. The podcast is called Dad Has Some Bow Ties once again. And tomorrow, of course, is going to be a very special episode due to the fact that we will be celebrating the kid's birthday. So, once again, XAB, this is Black Culture, The Breakdown. Jersey, thank you for having me.
Of course, bro. We pulling up for you, bro. It's your birthday, bro. We celebrating you tonight, bro. We celebrating you tonight, bro.
Yo, peace, King.
All right, bro. Appreciate you. All right, y'all. So that was XAB. I know XAB comes in and gives y'all the straight facts. All right? We clap for him. It's that boy's birthday. Make sure y'all keep him on your mind.
Yes.
Send that cash app.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to get on the line with Naima, Squats and Splits. Yo, it's actually her birthday just passed, too. We got another Libra in the building. So let's actually get her on the line and see what she's talking about. How we feeling today, y'all? I see y'all under Kirk. I see you in the building. What's going on, Kirk? It's good.
Just lower your volume.
Oh, she wants to show that she's right next to me today.
I'm with Jersey.
Okay. It's going to be interrupting a lot. Okay. So you're going to have to go back on that side.
But I love this lighting.
So then you're going to have to go on the live side. Next to you right here. My toe. Okay. We back on the live, y'all. We're back to Black Culture, The Breakdown. That was not a part of the schedule. All right. Naima.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
What an entrance, okay?
In the same house.
You're actually in my house today while we actually having this conversation and talking with Black Culture. Everybody, this is, you guys are in the production room back there with Naima. So y'all see what goes on behind the scenes of Black Culture, The Breakdown tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so Naima, it is your birthday, yo.
Ow, it's a bad bitch birthday.
It is your birthday, yo.
What? Oh, shit.
Listen, we bring it out big for the queens, right? Everybody's actually rolling in the comments. This is actually funny. Naima, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
More life to you. You have been a joy to just been around for the past few years that I've known you. And I'm actually excited and happy to see you into a super dope entrepreneur and a beautiful queen that you are.
That's right.
All right. So, welcome back to the show. You know how we do. We got a few things that we got to talk about today. You just dropped a project.
I definitely did. I dropped a project, a big project for my birthday. Mm-hmm. It was 22 of us. So I took 21 of my baddest house babes from my company, House of Pumps, and we put together a big project. And Jersey directed the project, so...
That's right.
It was amazing.
That's right. 22 people. Tell us about what made you decide to bring that vision together. What made you decide to put that project together?
I actually haven't done a video project all year. And I was like, you know what? I want to come through with the come through and just do it big. I want to do it big. So I wanted everyone to know that I had all these people lined up and I just want to do it major. You know, one time for the one time. So it wasn't even so much about getting like the recognition. It was more just for myself, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me talk to you about what you actually have next coming up with House of Pups. Like, you just dropped this massive project. And what do you want people to do right now? Do you want people to share the project? You want to
make yes. I need y'all to tag Chris Brown. I need y'all to... So go to my page, you'll see the project. It shows me twerking in front of a cake, okay? Period. Tag Chris Brown, tag Black Pyramid, tag your friends. The more people, the better. Listen, in our community, it's all about sharing. Sharing is free 99. I asked it for not a dollar. I'm not asking for 50 cents. I'm not asking for a quarter.
Yes.
Sharing is free. That's right. Yes.
Yes.
It's free. It is free. So... sharing people's talents and their accomplishments, you know, is something that you can do very simple.
Absolutely, Naima. Now, let's talk about what we're going to be working on next, all right? What you talking about next? What you got for the people?
World. What you mean? So, out here, I'm just like, I'm going to have more classes. I'm doing everything times 500. Like, I'm 28. I turned 28 on Friday. And I can my birthday, my new year. So okay. I'm January. This is my new year. So the A is gonna be major. I'm taking over.
All right. So now let's talk about consistency, right? You just turned 28. What are some things that, like, how are you gonna challenge yourself to be consistent in this new year of life for you? What are you gonna challenge yourself?
I will say this. I think as we're getting older, it's very good to write down. Your to-do list is really important to write goals. I think when I was...
Yes!
What? it was like, I would just keep it in my head, but I think now, as we're getting older, it's important to write it down. Manifesting is very important. So write down, like, this is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. This is my daily, not just, like, a little portion. This is my daily to-do list. I write a to-do list the night before I go to sleep. I wake up, I'm like, this is what I have to accomplish. I gotta do this, I gotta do that. You gotta film, you gotta edit, you gotta choreograph, you gotta take pictures for Instagram. Just be consistent. And true story, when I started on, when I revamped House of Pumps, I took a year and I said, I'm going to grind hard for a whole year. I had just turned 26. And I said, I'm going to grind hard for a whole year. I'm going to have classes every week. I used to book my classes months in advance. This way, I have no reason to not show up. Okay? And that, when I tell you that, that made a whole difference. Like, when you have no choice but to give it your all, basically. I see some of my House of Pumps girls are here, y'all. I see Free, Gloria, and Angels in the building.
Yes! Yes.
They hear.
They're in the building. They're clapping for you. Yo, everybody, show Naima some birthday love. Yo,
yes. Y'all better show me some birthday love.
Throw her some confetti. Show her some balloons. Throw her some hearts or whatever. But it's her birthday. She's a Libra. And it's definitely, you know, we celebrating X and we celebrating Naima tonight on Black Culture the Breakdown. Thank you for being such a faithful member and a guest to the show and always coming on and bringing your energy. All right. And we definitely appreciate you. So we're going to jump into one more question, Squats and Splits. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
No.
Jersey, I'm in your bedroom ready to ask a question.
So the question is, would you rather, all right?
Oh, shit.
Would you rather right now 10 million followers on the gram or $100,000 cash money right now?
Damn.
Now, everybody, answer the questions in the comments below. Would you rather 10 million followers on the gram or $100,000 right now cash money?
What y'all saying? Damn, I got to think about this one. You know, I feel like social media is where a lot of people make their money. There's a lot of social media Instagram influencers who they make 10 G's just to post one picture. Mm-hmm. So you said $100,000 cash?
Yes.
Yes.
Damn, that's serious. Okay, so this is what I was saying. I know I'm a talented person. I'm a very talented person. I'm gifted and all of that. So if I had 10 million followers, I think I could definitely influence the world to do anything that I want. Like Angel said, 10 million followers, build your brand. Yeah, it's like I could take the $100,000 and I could. What am I going to do with that? I can't even buy a house in New York. Is more than that. A house in New York is like $600,000 sometimes. It's not enough money, but it with 10 million followers, I could put out my product and be like, oh, y'all have to buy it. And I could at least get 1 million people to probably purchase my product. At least $500,000 followers to purchase my product. And my product could be $50 each, you know? So I would say I would probably take the 10 million followers just because I know we're in a state of where influence is very important. And I definitely think I could turn 10 million followers into $10 million easy.
Damn, that's some real shit. Naima, that's straight facts.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Hit that. You definitely hit that jackpot. Ume, what's up, Ume?
Ume!
But listen, I agree. I definitely would take the 10 million followers because you can turn that into $10 million. You understand?
Absolutely.
This small thing because you just understand business. Yo, we're going to close it out with that because you're the queen. Thank you for coming on the show. Even though you right here.
I'm right here. I'm about to pop up over there too. Well, you close, yeah, I'm going to come say bye over there too.
All right, no problem. You can come say bye to the people over here. All right. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Again, we love you on the show. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, y'all. So we're going to get back into the regular scheduled programming. That was Squats and Splits. He's actually coming to join me now.
I'm right here, y'all.
So I'm actually going to put this out over here. XAB's actually in the building as well, y'all.
Should we go get him?
He could come if he wants to. Yeah, you can get it.
We're gonna get SAB.
But yeah, XAB's actually in the building as well. But how y'all feeling today? We're gonna actually get the night going.
Yes.
Yes. All right. This is Black Culture the Breakdown. I am your boy Jersey, and we got a super dope show. We got Steven from Fenty Savage in the building. That's gonna be breaking down his experience. And, you know, we're going to actually talk about how he just become a viral sensation in the past few, you know, about a week. So right there, man.
What's the deal?
What's going on, bro? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about you.
I'm feeling great, man. Welcome to the show, Black Culture the Breakdown. Here, one of my co-hosts, Squats and Splits. and then my other co-host as well, XAB. How we feeling, bro?
Man, we feeling good. Feeling blessed.
Feeling blessed. All right, we just getting the visual of this together real quick.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So, welcome to the show, bro.
Appreciate it.
So, Steven, tell the people who you are, man, and what you do.
Yeah, what's good, everybody? My name is Steven G. I'm actually a fashion photographer and creative director, recently signed model, for the Savage Fenty campaign, which is actually my first introductory campaign. And so, Kansas City, Kansas City native here, doing my thing, really in the photography industry for a minute. And so, I actually got signed in February, so it's new kind of adding that title to the bunch, because I'm usually, Steven G, I'm a photographer, Steven G Creative Direction, but that's now, part of that journey now, so that's what it is.
Okay, so that's super dope, man. So you've kind of, like, touched on so many different things. You're a creative director, you say you just got signed, but you're a photographer, so you've been in front, behind, and at the side of the camera at this point. So talk to us about how you've gotten started into photography and how that kind of propelled you to now do what you're doing now, which is modeling.
For sure. So yeah, I actually got started in photography when I was in high school. So started in high school, and then it really just developed from there. Started taking my classmates senior photos, and then that actually kind of got me involved with, like, the yearbook. So kind of learning the editorial world, working with publications, kind of got me more involved in that process. And so that introduced me to the fashion realm, because, I was telling stories, creating stories for the book. That kind of pushed me into a fashionable element, because I started to, like, make photos a little bit different. So it wasn't just your standard, like, basic story for the yearbook. Like, I'm taking my friends, like, all right, do this, kind of pose like this a little bit, and let's try to, revamp the style. So actually highlighting simple stories in a fashionable way really elevated that process for me. So once I graduated, I started pushing my photography a bit more, connected with a local fashion magazine, started doing a lot of their campaigns, then was, like, their chief photographer. From there, was hosting model development workshops, and then that just kind of took off from there. Started doing my own business, Steven G Photography, purchased my studio in 2016. And so that's really where I've been.
Okay.
Yep.
Man, so you've actually had quite an interesting run, man. So now you've jumped into photography because what was the inspiration behind that?
Honestly, I would say the inspiration was just being creative. I do a lot of different things, but I think with photography, it was something that I could do to, one, just express my creativity. Secondly, it's a source of income. You know what I'm saying? So I was able to monetize that, but also be able to have that creative freedom. And then it was kind of like an entryway into the fashion world, because I've always just had a passion for fashion since, I was a kid. So that was kind of my gateway into the industry, while also, being able to make some money too.
Okay, all right, man.
Yeah.
So now,
yeah.
And questions for, he's basically talking about how he's just a photographer, creative director.
I think that's amazing. I think it's really, really
amazing. Thank you.
Because everyone knows you from Savage Fenty.
Yeah.
Get to tell everybody your background, which I think is really awesome.
I got a question. I need to know how them drawers feel, dog. Because the Fenty drawers were sold out before I could even click on them. So how do they feel?
Bruh, they feel like how they sold. And that's legit. I'm telling you, whoever got them, hey, kudos to y'all, because they felt good, man. They really are worth it. And they was actually priced reasonable, too. So, they lived up to the hype, for sure.
I ain't gonna hold you, brother. When you were standing there in them drawers, you was looking like Superman. Like, you had all the confidence in the world. And I need that in my life. Like, in my life. So I can't wait for her to restock. But I just think it's really, really amazing what she's doing and what is happening with the Fenty line, and you becoming the face and like just blowing up as quickly as you did. It was just amazing to see that. So kudos to you. And thank you for letting me know that them drawers are worth it. I was going to buy them regardless. I got to support my black queen. But now I know I really got to get them.
Yes, sir. You got to get them. You got to get them. I'm telling you.
Man. So
that Calvin. Oh. You got Calvin running for his money.
Talk to us, bro. Let's stop it. Talk to us about how it was just working for Savage Fenty. How did you even get the gig? Break us back to the beginning of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, how it all happened, honestly, one of the producers reached out to me via Instagram and just was like, hey, would you be interested for a campaign? And for me, obviously, you know, Savage doesn't have any men's clothes. So I'm like, okay, well, I thought it was a photography gig. And so I assumed that's what it was. And so I kind of went there and he was like, no, we want to see if you'll be interested in modeling and if you had representation. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I do. You know what I'm saying? So I went ahead and did that thing, routed them to my agent. And so we set it up. And so they actually reached out initially for the campaign. And so they helped put me on hold for the campaign and then actually released me. So I thought actually I wasn't going to get the gig. And so then they came back and brought me on for the e-com. And so when they brought me back for the e-com, that's when, you know, everything kind of went into play with that. And so went out to L.A., did my thing. And, you know, October 2nd, when the show came out, then everything kind of just hit social media. And then it just went from there.
Okay.
So yeah, working with her team, man, it was amazing. Like, you can tell the type of person you work for by the people that are working for you. And it was just good vibes from, like, day one. Everything was smooth. And the fact that her team is actually just as diverse as her brand. So it was a minority team of women and men. And it was smooth, you know what I'm saying? And we were close in age. And it felt like, honestly, working, like, with a group of my friends, like, how we work back home, like, it was like that. So I think that was one thing that was really dope that I took away from that experience.
How was the casting? What was the casting like?
I'm not sure. They reached out to me directly, so I really wasn't a part of, like, the casting process. So that's just kind of, I guess, how it was for me. I'm not sure of the actual process.
Okay. Another question? No. There's actually a question here in the comment box. I'm going to put it on the screen. Actually, in relative, what you actually just said. Tell us about your experience with Savage X Fenty after the show.
I actually wasn't in the show. So literally everything that happened from there was literally from that e-com shoot from the website.
Right.
Honestly, a lot of the buzz came from a girl on Twitter. I forgot her Instagram name. If I know it, if y'all know it, go ahead and, you know, shout her out. Because honestly, a lot of this is from her. Because honestly, like, how it played out, I got a text at like 4 a.m. from my homie in Atlanta. He was just like, bro, like, look at this. Because I actually talked to one of the producers the day before. He was like, yeah, okay. You know, what's going on? The site's going to be live tomorrow. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So I know what this is. I'm still nervous because, you know, like, I wasn't even really together in my size that I wanted to be. So I'm just like, you know, I had planned it in my head, like, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and just share with a couple of my followers or whatever. And then, you know, let that be that. But 4 a.m., I get that text, and it's he texts like, bro, have you seen this? And it's a thread with the girl who said, okay, Rihanna, with the eye emoji. And it had, like, hundreds of retweets and likes and comments. And then it just blew up from there to blogs, to Glamour Magazine, to New York Post, to The Guardian. And it just, like, took off from there, literally from a Twitter thread, and it just went viral. And that was literally from the e-com shots. Like, I wasn't in the campaign. I wasn't right in the show. Yeah. It was just literally, you know what I'm saying, that moment from Twitter, it just kind of took off from there.
Wow. Somebody in the comments just said overnight success. You definitely were trending, man. You know, even like, he's kind of everywhere. You know, like, so it was kind of dope to kind of see you kind of take that like an overnight success.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. That's all God. Like, I can't take no account for that because it really was like the whole process from day one. It just is out of my control. I'm just like, man, like, again, initially, like I said earlier, I didn't even think I was going to get the gig. And so, you know what I'm saying? For everything to kind of happen and transpire the way that it has, it was definitely divine.
Definitely. And, you know, you wouldn't even expect that people would go to the site, see you on there, and then it'd become a trending topic on social media. Right. Like that, not something that anyone plans out. So it definitely seems like there was some divine intervention and really dope things happening. It all aligned at the right time. And I just, much success to you, brother. I want to continue to grow and do amazing things, because I think what you stand for, or what the campaign stands for in general, is just something that's really, really powerful and really something that we need in our communities in general, in terms of, like, just loving who you are regardless, and every body type is, it can be sexy. Every body type can be attractive. And I think that you are the symbol of that right now. Like, you took over the campaign. They got dudes with 32 packs. They got abs for days. And nobody's retweeting them.
because they've been seen and they've been duplicated so many times.
Yeah, yeah, not as real. That's real.
And that is not the norm. How many people really look like that when you go outside, though?
Facts.
You understand? So it's actually not the majority. You understand? Mm-hmm. So definitely fill the void for a lot of people that definitely feel like they weren't never heard before. So that was pretty dope. There's actually another question here in the comment box if you're willing to answer this real quick. They said, what's next for your career?
Honestly, I don't know, because like I said before, I mean, I do a lot of different things. I was actually planning, me and my wife, we are launching a marketing agency, source management agency. And so that pretty much would be like a hub for small businesses and creative entrepreneurs to be your one-stop shop for everything you would need. So I was already in photography, so creating lifestyle campaigns, e-commerce campaigns, and things like that, social media management, digital strategy, all of that in one space. That was my plan. And so really when this happened, like within days, it's kind of like rerouting that. That's still the plan. That's still the focus. But the timing, I think, is just going to have to be adjusted a little bit. But that's definitely next for my career. And definitely just excelling in the modeling industry and really like pushing campaigns for really pushing the fashion market to really like push this narrative now that, you know, remade that step and really like got it talking. Like, let's really open up the door and create that opportunity for other people as well. So that's really what I will forecast to be next. But honestly, I'm enjoying the ride. So it is what it is, you know?
Gotcha. Most definitely, man. And we get to actually see you kind of take it all the way to the top, bro. All right. You definitely got
love.
Bro, one thing before you go, man, what advice would you give young Black boys that's actually trying to get into maybe photography and even modeling that maybe, you know, look like you? What advice would you give to them?
I would say make sure it's what you want to do. And the moment that you find out that you know that you're sure that this is what you want to do, go hard in it. Follow your God-given intuition that you have, because I think, you know, insecurities like weight or insecurities like, you know, looks and just aesthetics keep people from actually doing what they are meant to do. And you can't reach those places if you're struggling with being insecure for these little things that actually have nothing to do with who you are. So I think really pushing that narrative of who you are, let that be the focus and the forefront of what you do and go for it full throttle. You know what I'm saying? No boundaries. Don't be scared. If you're scared, do it scared and just go for it.
Absolutely. Bro, you've been super dope for coming on here and keeping it real. Man, they both of these are Libras today. That's why they're here on the show. It's a special birthday, Libra birthday special.
Okay. Shout outs to the Libra. Happy birthday.
but they jump on the show. He X does culture news every episode on the show. And Naima comes in and brings us excellent business advice because she has her own heels company.
I want to say something, though.
Yes.
When I was on the Fenty website, you were the only person I noticed.
That's what's up. That's love.
But we appreciate just seeing Black people being great. We love it. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
That's just what it's all about, bro. So where you go next with your career, man, and we here to support you on the show, Black Coaches. So whatever you got coming on next, don't be scared to come on here and tell us what you're working on, bro. But we here. And we here to
support you. Appreciate it.
What's up, King?
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you. Thanks for coming on, man. Let people know where you're from.
You can follow me at The Official Stephen G. You can check out my photography page at Stephen G Photography _. Check out my website at StephenGPhotos.com.
Bro, you are dope, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
All right.
All right, y'all. So that was Stephen J. What do you think about that?
Yes, amazing, awesome.
Super dope, yo. What's going
Shout
on,
out
everybody?
To Reed for the diversity.
The way she put that all together, for sure.
Super dope, actually. I'm like you, bro. I need to actually get some.
Listen, one Once those was back in stock.
I got my Savage X Fenty up for my birthday, so.
No, you lucky. You lucky. We a little upset over here.
But we're going to actually jump into the next segment now. We're going to get the boy Kirk on the line from the hit series Florida.
Florida Bama Shore.
There you go.
Kirk, I love you.
Hey. And it was good. What's good?
What's going on, brother?
Much, man. Boom. Let me put this up here right quick, man. This shit a little too close.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, set us up right, brother. Set us up right.
I'm trying.
And get your drink if you want to come on the road, bro.
Say what?
And get your drink, too, if you need to get one.
I'm keeping it classy right now. I got the
water. Hey! You can't clap. Ah, man, welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown. I am Jersey.
Naima, I just want to say I watched Florida Bama Shore, and I freaking love you, so...
I
was here tonight.
And it's the Kid XAB, man, from Dads and Bowties Podcast and Black Culture to Breakdown. We just here to chop it up with you, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what's up, man. I appreciate y'all having me for sure.
Of course, man. Of course.
So now, I can tell by the smile of 32 teeth that I see, this is going to be a lit live. So I'm going to let Jersey take over, but I just had to say that because I feel the energy ready.
I already feel the energy.
Let's already know I'm going to bring the energy now.
We definitely feel that, and we about to end up. So let's jump into this, bro. How did you get on Florida Bama Shore? Bring it back to the beginning for us. How did you get on the show?
Bro, it's so crazy how I made it on the show, man. So my homeboy was down there in Panama City Beach, Florida, right? And he was like, hey, man, I'm doing this beach job. Come down here, make some money in the summer, blah, 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 this and that. I'm like, at the time, I was broke. I had nothing else going on. I was like, I was single at the time. So I'm about to go down to the beach, you know, whatever. Meet some people, have some fun, make some money. You know how it is. Go down there, but he's like, yo, there's this MTV show that's, like, interviewing people. I was like, for real? He's like, yeah, I got an interview. So, like, can you come with me for, like, moral support? And I'm like, I wasn't even going to try out for it. I was like, all right, that's a bit. We get there. We start taking shots of, like, tequila, Patron, all that. Do his interview. The lady was like, I was over here just acting a fool. I was just being me. I'm over here, like, shooting shit, laughing, blah, 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 this and that. And the lady's like, you should try out, too. I was like, for real? She's like, yeah, I like your energy. I was like, shit, I bet. So I did it. And I feel kind of bad because my boy set up the interview, but they ended up calling me back. So I was like,
It always happens like
that. Always happens that way.
And, you know, so I felt kind of bad. I was like, they're like, yo, we like you. We want to give you another interview, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, so you're going to interview my boy, too? Is he coming with me? They're like, no, I was like, oh, man. So, like, you know, it was kind of awkward at the time. And he, you know, it was my homie. So he was like, yo, I'm proud of you, dog. Go do that thing.
Of course.
That's a real friend.
That's a real friend. Because yeah. it wouldn't have been a real friend if he wasn't supportive of you.
Bro. Exactly.
But listen, at the end of the day, sometimes they want what they want.
Yes.
All right. And you understand it. And you made the cut, bro. So talk to us about the process, the audition process. Like, how gruesome was it?
Honestly, I'm going to be real with you. I think I only made it because I almost at the point thought it was fake. I ain't going to flex. All because, like, for some reason, I thought when a producer is going to come to me, I'm thinking, like, a suitcase, like, very professional type look for some reason. I don't know. And these people had, like, tattoos. They from California. They smoking and shit. So I'm over here just like, I thought it was fake. So I was over here, I think, just because I thought it was so fake. And I was so natural. I was really myself, and I wasn't nervous. And I think that's what got me through the interview process. So I found out that it was a little legit. You know, it was a legit production. You feel me?
Definitely, man. It's definitely a production, man. Because the show's actually quite interesting to see. What you gotta say, X?
No, I was just gonna say a lot of people don't understand that when it comes to those castings, especially for the reality TV shows, they cast not based off of how seasoned you look. They cast based off of you naturally being yourself and being entertainment, just being you. Like, if you have to prepare yourself and get into character, they don't want you. They want it to be that they know that when you forget the cameras are on you, you are still entertaining. You still doing wild that they could be like, oh, yep, got it. You know what I mean?
That's the point.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's one of the things they always tell you too, like, hey, be yourself. Act like cameras and production aren't even there and just be you.
Right.
So that makes so much sense.
It definitely makes a lot of sense, bro. Now, talk to us about what was the most dramatic experience you had, man, on reality TV so far. Like,
I ain't gonna lie, man. I hate to bring it up, but there was a time we was in Panama. I was at the bar, man, and some dude was talking trash, saying this and that. A lot of it didn't air. And, you know, mm-hmm. Panama, mind you, I don't know if y'all are really familiar with Panama City, but, you know, the locals down there, it's a little different, man. It's a little different. I don't know how to say it respectfully and not without disrespect. You know, it's not a lot of people that look like us, put it that way. So you know, we was hearing a lot of stuff, you know, and what they did air was how I retaliated, but they didn't really air too much about how it started. But I mean, it's all good. But yeah, someone was talking smack, bro. And I was outside the bar. He was at the bar. And he said something. I was like, hey, bro, I'm from Atlanta. I ain't with this Panama City shit. Excuse my friend. And end up doing something reckless, you know, and end up almost having to get arrested for it. But other than that, I mean.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Yo. Now, that's actually a question that I actually got for you. When all that stuff goes down on the show, like the fights and being arrested, does MTV foot that bill?
See, it's weird because it's like, I don't know. You know, it's because like, I don't know really, but I know I probably should have gotten in trouble with certain things that I didn't. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I mean, I don't know how it worked. I don't know who's talking. I don't know how, but there's been a couple times, you know, where I was like, dang, man, I probably should have gotten in trouble.
Allegedly. So, all right. So now, the most dramatic experience was basically that the one that you kind of had that. All right. Got you. All right. So what are some of what's the best moment and the worst moment that you say you had on the show? Talk to us about the best moment first.
The worst moments is whenever I get into it with the females in the house. Man, I ain't trying to get into it, any of them. Yeah. So, and, you know, we all, you know, I will say this, shout out to 495 Productions. They definitely know how to pick them. It's almost like they picked us off of knowing what our pet peeves are, because we get into it like no other, I'm telling you. So I'll say shout out to that, because they make good TV for doing that. But I'll say getting into any of the females and just being too drunk and just saying stuff I don't mean, man. I just, you know, because I love all the girls. They're like my sisters now at this point. So yeah, it's like stuff like that, you know. But the best, I would say, they took us to Cabo, Mexico, and they barely aired anything. And that was lit. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I'm going to tell y'all something that y'all don't even know, whoever watching the show. If y'all watch the show, I love y'all. Appreciate y'all watching. But they took us to Cabo, and we rode to the beach. Bro, literally, I was riding a camel on the beach, and I was like, bro, and I just sat around, there was cameras, and I was like, bro, I'm really in the middle of Mexico on a camel in the beach, and I went from having maybe like $500 to my name like a year ago, you know what I'm saying? And now I'm over here on TV making money, and I'm on a camel in Mexico, bro. Like, it was just stuff like that that humbled me, just made me feel great about everything I'm doing, man. It was crazy.
Well, so now, break is bad now, because now your experience just being a black man and being on a cast that's predominantly white. Talk to us about that. I know you do have another castmate that is black. And I actually remember an episode specifically that you were throwing a cracker at somebody because he was throwing a cracker back at you. And then you were asked to be escorted out of the bar, but not the guy that was also throwing the cracker at you. Offended you, and I was like, I wonder how he feels just being a black man on a cast of predominantly white people, how that breaks down.
And see, and that's another thing too, and that's one thing I did regret too, because like, there's so much that was going on, all the alcohol, blah blah blah, this and that, and I didn't really realize what was really going on until the next day. And I was like, okay, it was a bunch of these other people throwing stuff, I retaliated, and I was the one thrown out. And then Candace had my back, but at the time I didn't know where Candace was at the whole time. So like, what y'all see is how it's edited, like, because I didn't see Candace the whole night, And if I don't know she was turning up for me like that, it would have been so much different. You feel me? So I didn't really know what's going on. I got production telling me this and that, like what I should do. And at the time, it's a job for me. So I'm like, every day I got to comply in a weird way. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to my production. I'm listening to that, blah, blah, blah. Now I look back when I watch it, I'm like, man, it wasn't like that. And everyone that know, you ain't got to be dumb to see what really was going on. You feel me? But it sucked because I didn't really know what was going on. So I've been drinking. I've been doing this. I retaliated. My roommates was doing this, blah, blah, blah. And then the only black Candace, she's like my sister too, the only black girl on the show, really had my back for the real reason. You feel me? And it's like, I didn't really see that at the time until it was aired. So it's stuff like that that I'm trying to like realize and get better at. It's like to kind of open my eyes more. Because back then, the season one type stuff, it's like, this is a job. This is the first time I've ever seen real money. I'm doing this, doing that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know, man, it's just a bunch of stuff like that. But now I look back on it, man, and see how it is. Like I said, Panama City, a little bit different, man.
Right. So talk to us. You just mentioned about the money, man. Talk to us about that reality TV bag. Like how it was just basically saying someone that didn't really start from really much to now going on a TV. What are they starting people off with on a season? If you don't mind talking to us, like what season one was, like what the check like that looks like for someone that's trying to get into this.
I can't really talk numbers legally, unfortunately. But I can say season one checks isn't that crazy. It's a little something to, you know, start up something.
Right. But
it's when you get to the point we're at now, it's like now you can hire like a manager, a lawyer, an agent, stuff like that to negotiate and make what you think you deserve. But luckily with us, a lot of other shows don't do what we're doing. But with us, we're all so like tight now that we're all like, man, we don't care who got more followers, who in this. We all in this together. Let's all negotiate to get the same bread because, like, we did this from the start together. And that's respect. Because you got people over here like Nilsa. I don't know if y'all probably know what I'm talking about with Nilsa. She got almost, like, 1 million followers now, and she don't even care about that. She could probably, if she really, really, really wanted to, she could probably make way more money than people like me that only got, like, almost 300,000 followers. You know what I'm saying? So it's, like, the fact that she and everyone else agreed to do that, I think that's cool, man.
Yeah, super dope, super dope.
That's dope.
Yeah. So now, talk to us about, you just talked about followers, and right now, she mentioned how important it was branding earlier.
Yes.
How important is it to have a brand, and how important is social media to you, and how do you use it to your advantage?
See, with me and my social media, I still try to keep it to where it's me. So a lot of people, like, they get to a certain point, they get the check, the verified check, they got the so-and-so followers, and, like, it looks like their page is just like a business page almost. Me personally, I was like, man, I was broke. I was living out of a truck with a broken window, had to put a trash bag over it and sleep in the back seat, you know, not too long ago. So over here, I'm like, man, my social media is going to be authentically me no matter what. Yeah, I'll do my promotions if they pay me, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I don't ever want my social media to look like it's just a brand like that. In a weird way, it would be a brand, but I just want to brand me for being me no matter what. So I'm going to still post normal stuff. I'm going to still do whatever I got to do. I'm not just going to make my page, like, you get on my page just to see nothing but, like, promotions and brands and blah, blah. I want you to see who I am if you don't know me. You feel me?
Gotcha. Absolutely. So now, when it comes to the branding of Florida Bama Shore, how important is it collectively now? Do you feel like, do you hold your castmates accountable? Like, yo, don't do something like that because it looks bad for the brand of the show.
I try. I'm telling you right now, my boy Gus, I don't know if he's watching this or not, but Gus, he is a wild one. I'll tell you that right now. You can't tell him nothing. So it's like, I just hope, like, deep down, it's like, hey, this is our job. We want to keep this going. Just don't do anything too stupid. But that's one kid, you never know what you're going to get with him, man.
Okay. Okay. So do y'all feel like y'all have meetings in regards to, like, this is what we don't do? Do y'all do stuff like that to kind of hold each other accountable? Or you just be like, everybody's grown, so everybody do what they want to do?
Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one time everyone was acting crazy. And we... Hey, MTV had to hit us up. Hey, we all got to get on a call and talk about some stuff. That call went so bad that MTV literally had to fly us all out to New York to sit in a real room and talk about it. And I was like, I'm sitting up like, have y'all ever had to do this to other shows? They're like, probably not. Y'all just reckless, man. Y'all crazy. Right, I'm telling you. It's I mean, I that's why I love it though, man. Like, people don't really understand that everyone on this show is so authentically them. It's crazy.
What does your off season look like when you guys aren't shooting and filming? Like, what are you doing to, I guess, not upkeep the brand per se, but what are you doing to still engage your followers when the show isn't shooting and things like that?
Okay. Well, usually I like to do like little events and like, you know, pop-ups and meet and greets and stuff. And I like to try to hang out with people from the cast that live in the area. So actually, Nilsa and Gus actually moved to Atlanta. Well, Nilsa is like, really? She actually bought a house in Atlanta. She gonna be here for a minute. Gus actually rented out actually where I grew up pretty much, in like same street, like North Atlanta. And so whenever they're in town, bro, we get like little events around Atlanta, go to clubs, do appearances, stuff like that, and just try to like let everyone know that we actually hanging out in real life for real, stuff like that. But other than like trying to keep the brand and show together, my one of my close friends, he's like my brother now pretty much. He owns a roofing company. He's doing well. So I'm starting to try to do sales for that since I have a following, you know, start posting it, get his like brand bigger and stuff like that. But other than that, for the Floribama stuff, it's really just keeping the tight knit family how we, you know, how it looks like on TV, just in real life, you know?
That's dope.
Absolutely. It's super dope, man. squats and splits. Where we get next question. See?
Next question. I just want to say, first and foremost, that I love the show. I think you guys are super dope, super talented. And I know reality TV is not a walk in the park.
It's not.
But you guys do it so well. so well. So that's really, really awesome.
Yeah. I can't see. Wow. Amy, about you throwing hands.
Bring it. Oh. Oh, yes. Does Amy really be throwing hands when it comes to Amy really
throwing hands, bro. I'm telling you. Me and Gus had to learn the hard way, man.
She
ain't put the hands on me, but she definitely showed me on season one, I think. But she put the hands on Gus, though. Gave him a little two-piece. Bow-bow, no size.
Man, I was confused. I was looking like... yo, she came back out the room and she snuffed him in the face, and I was like, yo.
Bruh, crazy, isn't it?
But she really be throwing hands, man. What's the, like, do you guys be like, yo, chill out, or do you just be like, yo, that's just Amy?
It's just Amy. Like, yeah, like, we try to tell her to chill out, but that's just Amy. If she gonna get drunk, wanna throw hands, she gonna throw hands, so it is what it is. You got to accept the proof she is. You feel me?
Somebody says she pushed Kirk into another time zone, bruh.
Hey, bruh, I can't even talk trash back on that one. She really did. But I will say the table's the narrative wouldn't look this bad.
Hilarious. Actually, there's some questions back here, man, if you want to answer a few. Let's see.
Oh my god. He said gave Gus a two piece of the what? Gave Gus a two piece and a side of fries. Oh.
Talking about, he's on the show. Thanks. Okay. Bro, what's going on with season four, bro?
Can't talk too much of it, but you gotta
look at that. Official Adam Rick said, is there gonna be a season four? Oh man.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
The money hands tells me what's up.
Yeah, people are asking these season, yeah, would there be another season for Floribama Shore? If so, when can we expect it? Also, much love, Kirk from
when can they expect it? But we know what time it is. He can't talk on that.
He can't talk on that. But listen,
he can just tell from body language.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We got to protect the brand. We got to make sure everything is good. But we know what's up. So I hear you, bro.
So let me ask you this. Reality TVs have this stigma of just kind of like appropriating black people in the wrong way, all right? Sometimes they make it seem like there's no positivity that comes from reality TV shows. What do you say about that stereotype? And how do you feel like you can, you know, that your image is portrayed as a black man on the show?
I will say this, on a serious note, a lot of the stuff that is aired about me on this show is always when I'm lit or turning up, and it's like I look angry, you feel me? Mm-hmm. But anyone that really knows me is like, the me you're seeing right now, even though we just met, even though it's virtually whatever, is me 99% of the time. If I'm turning up on something, I'm mad, I've been drunk, I've been doing this, blah, 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 blah. So that's one thing that kind of made me mad, because I'll be watching shows sometimes, and like a lot of my air times when I'm getting lit up, and I'm like, it's almost like I'm portrayed as just being that angry black dude, you feel me?
Right. And
a lot of it go for Candace too, because like a lot of the stuff that had her air is like she was like the angry black chick, you feel me? So I just like, I just kind of wish the dynamic on that would change a little bit, which I think we had some talks with people. So other than that, I mean, that is kind of how it seemed, you feel me?
So now,
because like that's too much of a stereotype that people just think that, and that's why a lot of white people that never grew up around black folks, it's like that like stereotype of, oh, black folk angry. Oh, just watch this black dude. You know, watch this black, you know what I'm saying? Like that. And then like, if that's how they're showing on a show that's predominantly white for us, that's only helping that stereotype for people that don't really understand and don't know people like us. You feel me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People in the comments are saying Kirk is the realest on the show. No cap. Naomi, you want to actually go read some more questions?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like the comments is going crazy for you, bro. They definitely mess with your character on the show, man. They fuck with you.
I mean, everybody want to know when the next season is for sure. Everybody definitely wants to know what the next season is. But someone said Kirk is the GOAT. Okay. And I definitely agree with that. Like, you're...
Oh, I'm about to call someone out. Someone said he was saying the N-word and enabling the white folk. Man, that's how I talk, man. I'm from Atlanta. Come on now. If people, they know not to say that shit, so don't even try to talk shit like that, man. Come on.
That's a fact.
Nah, man. They know I'll turn this shit 0 to 100 real quick.
Listen, and we only up on here because I'll turn it 0 to 100 real quick, too. I'm here taking screenshots. I got people to chat with after this. You know, so don't worry. I'm like the FBI. I'll pull up their whole address up on here. They can keep chatting. I'm screenshotting. Don't worry about it.
So now, bro, talk to us now about what Kirk has going on next. Like, we know you on Floor Bama Shore, but who is Kirk just as off camera? Who are you off camera, bro?
Man, off camera, bro, I just be kicking it, man. I be chilling. Not doing much, too much, but there is some stuff I got coming behind the scenes. I'm starting to get into some scripted films.
Okay.
So I'm trying to, you know, a lot of people don't know, but I can act as well. So I'm definitely trying to build my portfolio on that and get into some real scripted films and stuff like that. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, my real ultimate goal is one day I want to start hosting some shows, man. I want to start being like, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do some stuff like this, man. That just sound fun to me.
Bro, it definitely sounds fun, man. So now, let's move on to a game that we want to play real quick called Floor Bama Trivia. If you down to play the game. All right, it's called Floor Bama Trivia, Kirk. So, you ready?
Yeah, let's get it.
All right. Okay. Season 1, Episode 1. Who was the first and last roommate to arrive in the house? Who was the first and the last to arrive in the crib?
I think
The audience can answer that too, and let's see if they get it right.
I think the first, I want to say, was either Courtney or Nilsa because they're from there.
Hmm.
And then the last, I want to say either Gus or Candace. Because I remember when I showed up and they showed up after me. Or was it? Dang, I don't even know, man. They might know more than me. I want to say, I know for sure the first one was either, it was Courtney and Nilsa because they from
that. Comments. What are they talking
about? I'm getting Gus and I'm getting Nilsa.
For who? Who was first, though? Yeah.
They
saying Gus and Nilsa. Most people saying
some
Gus.
Some people saying Gus. Two people say Gus.
Okay.
Well, the answer is Nilsa was first. Mm. Nilsa was the first one in the house. All right, let's see if everybody can get who was the last one. Who was the last one? Let's see if y'all can get that right, and then we're going to actually find out if y'all got that right. Who would you say, Kirk?
I want to say Gus or Koda. I think it might have been Gus. No, I don't know.
What's the comments talking about Spots and Splits?
I'm still getting Gus.
Yep, the answer is Gus. Gus was the last person in the crib.
Okay.
Get that one right, Gus. Kirby. So you just confused. but it's all good. That was good. Do you actually have a question that you want to ask the fans? You want to ask them a question that see what they if they know anything about you or about the.
I just want to know what they want to see more from the show, because that is a thing that Network actually hit us up about. They're like, you know, with everything going on, you know what I'm saying, Black Lives Matter, all this stuff. They're like, hey, so, because, you know, MTV, they in New York, you know what I'm saying? Like, they cool people, blah, blah, blah. They ain't nothing like the Southern Panama City, no offense. But so they asked me straight up, they're like, hey, so what can we do to, like, bring in more Black culture in this show? So obviously, my ideas, I was like, man, y'all just really need to incorporate, like, because we can't just keep going to these certain places, going to these redneck bars and all this stuff, bro. Like, that's not going to help us in any way. You feel me? So I was like, maybe come to the A, maybe do something like this. Maybe let some of my homeboys from my hometown come, this and that. So I want y'all think we should do.
But let's actually bring that back real quick. So I've actually worked with MTV for quite some time. I've done a few things with MTV. And I know how they operate and I know how they do things, but I'm here in New York, so I know that they're diverse here in New York. But the fact that they reached out to you and asked you what can they do to bring more Black culture on the show is kind of like a little bit alarming, you know, because they should have Black producers on a show that Black cast members are on so that the show can go more smoothly, because then they will understand the storylines a little bit better. But, you know, and that's always been an issue that I've always had with MTV, but I know they were trying to work on diversity. But bring it back to just that. How does that make you feel that they even asked you that?
When they did ask me that, I was kind of offended. I was like, see, the fact that you have to even ask that is kind of weird. You feel me? It's like, y'all casted two Black folk on the show. Y'all should have obviously wanted that kind of culture to come with it. Because the whole dynamic was supposed to be 8 young Southern people in a house together, but from all different areas and all different, like, upbringings and just blah, blah, blah. So for me, it's like, if you knew Candace coming from Memphis and living in LA, me coming from Atlanta, it's like, why haven't y'all put that to intertwine it into, like, the Southern culture instead of making the show just like, because I could tell off rip they wanted the show to seem like some kind of, like, real country bumpkin stuff. You know what I'm saying? And ain't nobody on that show is a redneck. You feel me? Like, not one. And it's like, I think that's like what the stigma was supposed to be. And I don't know, man. I just feel like, yeah, I was kind of, when they asked me that, I was kind of like, I'm glad you said it. But then it's like, if all the stuff wasn't going on right now in the world, would you ever ask me that?
Mm. And it's a callback to what you were saying earlier when you were talking about them not having certain producers in those roles. Because if you like when they edited, if you have a Black producer in that room during those editing sessions or a Black director, they're not going to cut the scenes to make you look like an angry Black person. You know what I mean? They're going to be aware of that narrative and they're going to put the actual truth of what happened. So it all works together. So I think that it's good that you kind of are stepping in this role of bringing that voice and saying like, yo, y'all shouldn't even be asking me this, but if you are going to ask me, I'm going to give y'all a reel. And it's up to y'all to get, do what you need to do.
Absolutely.
Exactly. 100%. So.
And you said stuff like, yo, I'm bringing my homeboys on the show. Yes, bring the homeboys on the show. Like, you cannot be the only Black male on the show. And what's the beautiful Black queen on the show? Her name again?
Candace
is cannot be the only black female on the show in terms of like the only face that they see. Bring the homegirls on, bring the homies on, like let them actually see what it's like to, you know, because Jersey Shore, and that's another thing I want to talk to you about, the comparison between Jersey Shore and your show. How annoying is that for you? And you know, and the fact that they actually switched up, MTV did switch up the formula and they did add two black castmates to your show. How do you feel that it was actually made and beneficial for you?
I was honestly surprised, for real. I really was. And I was happy, man. Like, because like you said, with the Jersey Shore, like, they all are similar in the same area they grew up in. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I saw that me and Candace did make it, I was like, that is a step forward. This is a different kind of show now. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, right. Not many people do that. And so I was happy for it, man. And going back to what I said about bringing my homeboys on the show, and I'm going to address this too, I really feel more bad for Candace than anybody else, because let's be real, like, yeah, I'm the only black dude on the show, but, like, as dudes, y'all can feel me on this as the fellas, like, dudes can relate on dudes stuff no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be a white dude, Hispanic dude, I'm a black dude, but, like, we gonna want to watch sports, we gonna want to talk about music, we gonna want to, you know, talk about dude stuff, but I feel like as a black female, you can't really relate to other, like a white female and, like, other females and, like, in the same sense as a dude can relate as a dude. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is there's more, so in America at least, there's more commonalities that a black dude can kind of relate to a white dude about, like whether it be sports or anything that's kind of in that neutral zone. But with a black female and a white female, there's a little bit more of a gap because there aren't as many spaces for them to have that neutral plane to be like, oh, we have this in common. You know, you treat black female hair way different than you treat white female hair. So it's not like you can just sit there and be like, oh, we got the same hair regimen. And the sports things aren't similar. There may be a show, TV show, but even in that, they kind of segregate that. You got Jersey Shore versus Love and Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? What you're getting at.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's exactly. You said it in a way better way.
Now, let me ask you, you're on a show that is predominantly a white cast, right? There are the shows that are stereotypically the black shows, like the Love and Hip Hop shows. But you're on Floor Bama Shore, which is considered more like a white show, and you're like the black guy on the white show. Talk to us about that narrative and how that even makes you feel as a cast member.
I will say this. It sucks in a way because it's like, I'll be doing interviews and stuff on the show, and it's like, stuff like, they want me to like be saying the stuff about certain things. It's almost like, I'm going through the motions of like how they want like, how the show to go, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah, it's like I was doing my job, but like now that I'm about to be on like a season 4 type stuff, and I'm like really realizing like, back then it was a job and I was listening, but now it's like more so like I don't really need to be listening to certain things, because I'm not saying that they meant any harm. They didn't want any, like, they wanted me to look any certain type of way, but like you said, like producers that don't look like me don't really understand like how certain things go and like how, like, you know what I'm saying? It's so hard to explain without saying too much, but I feel like you get my body. So it's like, now that I know that like I can really, really be myself and bring the true me and everything that people haven't really seen, now I can do it. And I wish I would have done it earlier, because back then I was over here like, this is the best job I've ever had. Maybe I just need to listen so I don't get fired. But now it's like, I really need to, I have a platform now. I've been on the show. I can do stuff. Now I can really be me and show people for real and actually, you know, more so diversify the whole show. I'm sorry for cussing, my bad. And just diversify the show and stuff like that. And I'm sorry, I'm everywhere with my words, but it's making sense. I hope y'all understand what I'm trying to say.
And you clear, bro. Just do you, man.
Yeah, man.
It's definitely, it makes sense in terms of just kind of getting your voice across, man, and speaking in your truth and just making sure that you're represented in the way that you want to be represented. You know what I'm saying? So now you're saying you're moving into season 4 type stuff, and you have a different mindset. You understand? You're like, I'm not going to just be doing whatever I'm not a puppet master no more. You know what I'm saying? I was on a live last week with Rayon from Mindless Behavior. He was in the group for years, and he said he was a puppet. You understand? He said he didn't want to do that no more. Because it literally the media likes to paint the picture of what you need to be. And they pay you a check based on that. You don't really have a voice. So talk to us about that. Do you see yourself kind of pitching your own show or doing your own Kirk spinoff or doing your own thing and having some ownership in this? How are you feeling about that?
Hey, man, there's been plenty of people that want to spin off with me, man. I've been getting a lot of mentions and stuff on Twitter, all that. I would love to have a spinoff back here in the A with my friends, because I'm telling you, people don't understand, but my friends here, we have our own reality show by itself. And it would be so lit. It might have to be on like BET Uncut, like it was back in the day or something. Cause I'm telling you, like, it get wild, bro. But I'm telling you, like, honestly, another thing I would like to do, this sounds crazy, but I want to have a little spinoff cooking show.
Oh, that's lit.
And I'm talking about like real deal, like barbecue, smoking meats, all that stuff. And I feel like that'd be fun. The whole process, getting lit, taking shots with my homies and stuff. I think that'd be fun.
That's absolutely super dope, bro. There's actually some questions back here. Are you in the mood to answer some questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's actually see what we got. Somebody said this. Continuing inspiring people. That's just a statement. Let's jump into this. Are you still friends with Mr. Blue Lies Matter Gus?
I ain't going to do Gus like that, man. I'm going to tell y'all about Gus, so. Unfortunately, Gus's father is, you know, a police officer down there in Perry, Florida. But without saying too much about his life and his personal business and his family business, Gus ain't anything like that. I actually got to know Gus when he moved over here. And he'll tell you straight up, he was like that because that's how he grew up. He grew up in a country town in Florida. His dad was a police officer. So, like, when he grew up that way, it took him getting on the show and getting out of that small town and opening his mind to realize, you know, he can think his own way. And he still gets scrutinized for it from his own family. He was posting about Black Lives Matter stuff after the whole George Floyd thing. And, you know, he had people from his family asking him why he did that. And I was like, damn, that sucks. As someone that's really trying to get better humanitarian-wise, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's really trying to get past what he was supposed to be, if you think about it. And I hate that for him. And, like, people don't understand that. But I know Gus personally now. And, I mean, yeah, that's how he was raised. That's how he was brought up. But he's definitely trying to be better for, like, what really is what it's supposed to be. So whoever thinks that, knows that, I'm telling y'all, Gus is honestly such a good dude. He grew mentally. Just take my word for it.
And I think that that's an important thing to say, because we live in this cancel culture, and there is a backlash to canceling everybody. Sometimes certain people just need time to grow. They may start in a space that is like, what are you talking about, bro? But if we don't give them that opportunity to grow from that, all we do is alienate them to stay in that space. And if they stay there, then they grow up to be the people that we really, really don't want to deal with. So I think it's important for us to distinguish the people that really, truly need to be canceled versus the people that can grow and let them grow, allow them to grow. You know, if they're open to growing and they just may still be ignorant, that's okay. They can they move from that. And it sounds like that's what happened with Gus.
I'm telling you, 100%. I was just with him last night, man. We was talking about some real stuff, man. And that kid, like, it just, I like the fact that people are growing. And that's what we need more right now today in America, is more, because we can fight for each other. We can fight for our rights. We can fight for everything, social injustice, all that. But we really need the white folks. Like, what, we 13% of this country? Us 13% ain't going to change the other 70-whatever percent of the white folks. And out of those 70%, we need the people like us that are willing to change, or the people that haven't even had that. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, we all got to be in this together. That's my thing. So when you have – so Gus is one person, but that's a little percentage of everything that could possibly keep happening, keep getting people to realize, read, grow up, meet people, understand that life is life, man. We bleed the same way. You feel me? So it's like – and that was the best thing about it, because I can talk with Gus, and he'll keep it so transparent with me. He goes, I ain't gonna lie, I was raised this way. My parents or my dad thought this way, you know, obviously without getting into detail, but you can feel where I'm coming from. And it's like, and he's like, I don't think that way. I even tried to talk with him. I'm trying to get him to change that way. And it's like, we need more people like that, especially in the South.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, let's actually just switch up the vibes, man. You were just talking about we're back on the show, man. Again, thank you for being on Black Culture, the Breakdown, bro. We got Kirk in the building. All right. So we're actually going to jump into a game called Something Rotten and Something Ripe. All right. So that's another game that we're about to play on here. And it's super easy. All you got to do is you're going to go through your castmates and you're going to say something ripe, which is something nice about them. And it's something rotten, which is like, ooh, they could work on that. All right. So let's jump into Amy. All right. Something ripe and something rotten about Amy.
Something ripe about Amy, she's funny. She's authentically, just genuinely funny.
Okay, but okay.
Rotten about Amy is she think the whole world revolve around her, and if she in a bad mood and if she don't get her way, it's over with.
Yes! 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 Absolutely. So now let's move on to Candace. Something ripe about Candace is something rotten around Candace.
Ripe about Candace, she woke black queen, cool as hell, down to earth, funny as hell too. She alcoholic, though. It's cool. But the rotten, I would say, she don't really be looking. She'll have her own opinion on something, and it'll stick that way, even if you're giving her facts about something. She's stubborn. She's too stubborn. I'll say that. I'm going to say, long story short, she's way too stubborn on everything. How about that?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that.
Yes.
So let's move on to Gus.
Gus, the right, cool, man. He turned up, funny dude, man. You know, he's the life of the party. Ryan, I would say he get too emotional, man. He takes too much stuff to heart sometimes, I feel like. And one thing I hate about him, man, his whole mood would change if he ain't getting no girls. like straight up, like.
Oh, shit.
He's one of those. Like, go home and hang out with the homies, bro. Come on, dog. He be getting mad. Man, she should have came back. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, man, whatever.
Yeah, you gotta guide him out of that. That's going down the road. Toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, fellas. The ladies don't gotta give you no attention, all right? You are not deserving of their attention. If they desire to give it to you, then they desire to give it to you. Other than that, you know what I mean? You just gotta go about your day and keep it pushing. But you can't get crazy because a girl doesn't wanna give you play.
Well, actually, speak on that, Naima. How do you feel about
that? I can see her body language right now.
I can't speak for all women, but you know, I just demand respect and attention always. I think learning your partner's love language is very important. Some people, they don't want quality time. I prefer quality time. Some people want gifts. Some people want physical touch. So you need to learn about your partner's their love language. Don't just take it as a whole.
Well, how do you feel about dudes thinking that they are deserving of you? Kind of like, if they ask you out, they think you automatically just supposed to say yes.
Yeah, oh, hell no. I ain't for everybody. But if I like you, I'll let you know.
But then that's where it gets tricky, because sometimes you don't even like us, and then you still just want to go out just to get some food.
No, I like that. If I don't like you, you won't know, because I'm not going to say yes.
Is there anybody in the comments that ever went out with a dude just for food? You really ain't like him? Like, keep it a buck.
Definitely.
I think sometimes as women, we like to give guys a chance. We know it's really hard for you guys as dudes. You guys already got to spend money on the date. You guys don't like rejection. So we're like, you know, we'll take a chance.
Let's get out of here. Hold on one second.
Now, we'll take a chance. We'll say, let's go out. And we'll try to fill you out. However, there's some guys that can't pick up on hints. If the conversation is not going
right,
well, if the vibe is not going well, we're already telling you, like, you know, I'm not really feeling you. They will hunt you down. Now, men are supposed to chase, but some of y'all doing too much. Y'all be chasing me, and I'm running away. Stop it. Pause. Rewind. Go to somebody else. But there's some dudes who, they step outside of their boundaries, and they just chase you. And then they get upset when you don't respond, or they get upset when you're not feeling you the same way. I've had guys that I like that didn't want me. I took the hit and I went the other way.
But I do think men have a hard time taking the, like, taking rejection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're babies when it comes to rejection.
Oh, yeah. I agree to that. But she's making it seem like all women are, oh, we're conscious that you guys are sensitive.
Nah, I said me. I don't know about the rest of the women.
Okay, because I'm like, because they definitely not. Kirk, talk to us about a time that you felt like you've been on a date and you was like, kind of feeling like, yo, am I out here just to be a sponsor? Or am I out here, or am I on a date because this girl actually really fuck with me? Like, talk to us about an experience, because I know you definitely got one or two.
See, here's the thing. I lucked out because season one, so I've been dating my girlfriend for like 3 years now, so I was meeting her with her before when I was broke. So I got lucky.
She's a real one.
Because I bet, guarantee you now, it wouldn't be the same, you know what I'm saying? Like, people just go, oh, you're Kurt from Florida, Bama. Oh, yeah, it's so different now. So, I respect my girl for that, and I respect everything about that. I lucked out, you know what I'm saying? So I can't really, you know what I'm saying?
All right. So now moving into like just what you have going on next, you know, because we're now talking about you kind of bossing up and the show is kind of growing and you're kind of growing. Would you consider like moving, jumping ships and doing another reality show?
I mean, I like where I'm at right now, but, you know, obviously where the money go, I go. So, yeah, I ain't opposed to nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if someone call me and give me an opportunity, the money's right, I'm there.
Yeah, you did, man. All right, well, it's looking like we basically at the end of the show, man. We had a super dope time just having you on here and kicking it with us and just getting to know Kirk a little bit more. Anything that y'all want to jump in and set?
Yo, Kirk, you a real one. We just been on live for maybe an hour or so, 45 minutes, whatever the case is. Your energy is great. Your energy is amazing. And I think that just based off of this interaction, I fucks with you. Yeah. I just want you to know that. For real. And I know there might have been some crazy comments going on during.
Person, I kept seeing it.
Yeah, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm not gonna, whatever. However, what I can say is that regardless of what perception people may be getting from TV, I can tell that you are a great person deep down. And if there are any spaces where you do need to grow, they will show themselves and you will be able to grow to those spaces because you look like you are a type of person that is willing to find where they need to get to another area and then do the work to get there. So I just want to say that I enjoyed this live. And I don't say that to everybody that I do lives with, but I really enjoyed this. I love your energy, bro.
No, for real, I appreciate that. That means a lot, man, for real. I appreciate that.
Most definitely, man.
I'm happy y'all hit me up to do this, man. This really made my night, man. I appreciate y'all.
No, of course. So now, Kirk, tell everybody what you got going on next and where they can find you, man.
Well, what I got going on next, I mean, besides, you know, obvious stuff for y'all with the whole show, but check out, follow me first off, Kirk Madoff on every social media, but I'm going to start getting into the little short films. I have a homie that does producing movies for like Bruce Willis and stuff, so I got right into the door on some cool stuff like that. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. I'm about to build my portfolio on that. And other than that, I mean, besides show and entertainment-wise, man, I'm just trying to invest. I'm trying to start flipping houses. I'm trying to just do everything. I'm just trying to see some M's, you feel me? You know? But other than that, entertainment-wise, yeah. So expect to see me on some more scripted stuff, hopefully. But other than that, keep watching Florida Bama. You know, every time they call me, I'm coming back.
That's what it is, man. Well, listen, we're in New York City, man, and we're content creators as well, and we're definitely always looking to just kind of keep growing our brands. So the fact that you're moving into a space from reality to kind of like getting into script is super dope because I'm a creative director, you know, choreographers and podcaster. And this is what we do. We create content all day. So you're a part of that world in a different realm because you do reality TV.
Yeah,
but dope to kind of see that you move into a space that you actually want to do scripted and kind of move into a place that you create in real art. You know what I'm saying?
Well, another, so like you say, you obviously know that MTV Viacom's all in New York anyway. We go up there like once or twice a year to do press and stuff like that. We got to link up, you know, network on some stuff.
And most definitely, let's do it, man. I have a school out here in New York City, and like a home and art school, and we can definitely link up and do something like that. Everybody else in New York?
Yeah, we turning up whenever you come to New York. Fuck what you heard, Kirk. Fuck what you heard, Kirk. When you come to New York, hit us up, and we out. When COVID is over and all that, we hitting somebody rooftop, and we turning up.
I'll bring my mask with me. I promise.
That's it. Bro, you were super dope, man. Thanks for coming on again and just vibing. We'll definitely connect when we get off this live because there's a few things I think we should connect on. But, bro, appreciate you coming on and keeping it real, man.
Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate it.
Black culture, the breakdown, y'all.
All right, y'all. One, we're going to see y'all later, man. Appreciate y'all. Man.